Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
You've been hearing a lot about housing in recent weeks and homelessness, and it all points to the fact that affordable places to live are in short supply in Chicago. Efforts to increase available housing are worth highlighting, so this week we focus on the Resurrection Project. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. For more than three decades, the Resurrection Project has been working to better the lives of people on the southwest side of Chicago. The community organization sees its mission as creating community ownership, building community wealth, and serving as stewards of the area's assets. This weekend, we zero in on one major effort, and I'll let our guests explain why it's so major. And these guests make for quite a lineup. Lizette Carretero is the Director of Financial Wellness with the Resurrection Project. Fred Weatherspoon is the Program Director at the Precious Blood Ministry of Reconciliation. And Mary Kenny is Executive Director of Reclaiming Chicago. She was also for years the Director of the Illinois Housing Development Authority. And we actually have known each other for quite a while. We are conducting this interview via Zoom conferencing. And thanks to all three of you for joining me. Lizette Carretero, tell us a little bit about the Resurrection Project and what it's been doing in the community.
Thank you, Craig, for inviting us. So we've been around for 35 years. We're actually about to celebrate our 35th year in a couple of weeks. So we're really proud and excited of all the work that we've done throughout the years. We've really focused, our organization was rooted around organizing and bringing people together and really building on people power. What we saw in our community, we're from Pilsen, where we're headquartered. And, 30 years ago, the community wasn't what it is today. And that has a lot to do with a lot of the work that has been done to revitalize the community and really make sure that investments have come into play so that we can show and demonstrate, what it means when we build homeownership in communities and how it replicates within an ecosystem of different opportunities where it creates safety, it creates more investment and just economic overall opportunities where we're seeing small businesses thrive. And really that model, we continue to try to carry it, which today with my colleagues here from Precious Blood and Mary with United Power, we actually, about when United Power was founded, your Resurrection Project was a part of that foundation as well, because we saw the track record in being able to do development in communities and how we can continue to do this collectively. So within the last 5 years, we've been working more intentionally in Build Reclaiming Chicago, which is the initiative that we want to be able to highlight today, which has an objective of being able to build 2,000 homes in the southwest side of Chicago. So we're here today to continue to build on that legacy that we started and really working along not just our organizations, but other organizations that have this track record that have been doing it in the communities that they're serving.
Well, that is a good introduction for Mary Kenny here, because reclaiming Chicago is certainly a mission and the focus of much about what we're talking about this weekend. How do all of the organizations fit into this picture, and what you are doing specifically in the Reclaiming Chicago mission?
So, well, Craig, is that actually laid out? This is a number of groups that have come together under the umbrella of United Power to join together to try to address an issue, you know, facing their communities. It's interesting. I mean, the way that I got involved actually is I was working at BMO Harris, but I have a long history in affordable housing, and the group came and pitched the bank for a grant for their revolving loan fund because they were trying to build single family housing in each of these communities. And we can talk a little bit more about that. But I was so impressed by the work and the organizing that they had done around the issue, and knowing about policy, you know, in the housing policy in the state, especially around single family construction, which they're really, you know, we don't have enough affordable housing and the homeownership side. And so just seeing the work that they were doing, I was really inspired. But it really came together out of the work of United Power. And I have to take my hats off to Fred and Lizette. Amy Tosh, who's the lead organizer for United Power, who's not here, but they worked literally a decade probably to bring together this project. And they've now raised $25 million from private foundations and corporate donations for a revolving loan fund that completed the first 80 homes in each of the four communities that were working. So in Roseland, in New City, in Chicago Lawn, and in North Lawndale, about to break ground on the next 70. So this is the first new construction that some of these areas have actually seen in decades. So it's not easy work, and it took a whole village to bring it about, but I feel like there's great momentum now. And that's why I've come on board to help Reclaiming Chicago, which is the not-for-profit that's controlling the fund, to continue to build that fund through private foundations and give these communities the resources they need to rebuild.
Well, thank you. And Fred Weatherspoon, talk to me about Precious Blood Ministries and its role in reclaiming back of the yards, for example.
Great. So Craig, how Precious Blood Ministry of Reconciliation got involved in this? So we are a social services community-based organization. Our expertise is in restorative justice. So we are a service-based organization. We've been around for 20 years. Housing was never a part of our mission. But because of the work we do in the community in terms of servicing people and listening to our people that we service, we learned that housing was a big important issue for us and the lack thereof of housing. And because of that, we sort of was reaching out and seeking information about the different organizations that does housing. And we sort of was introduced to United Power, and because of a pre-existing relationship we had with the Resurrection Project, who sort of mission is housing, we were able to partner with them and sort of advocate for our community, which is back in the yard / New City, being involved in this. And so that's how we got involved in, and we've been heavily involved for the last couple of years, because we definitely need affordable first-time home ownership and rental spaces. We do not have enough of those either. So, yeah, that's how we so that's how Precious Blood got involved.
Well, and thank you for that. And really, from this point on, any of you who has, anything to add, feel free to jump right in. But Lizette, let me start with you, because the reclaiming part of this is a particular entity. So talk to me about that and the fact that you've gotten, I can, to put it mildly, some recognition.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, I've been with the organization for the past 13 years, Craig, and so, you know, have been involved with the different initiatives and the different projects. You know, as I mentioned, our organization, you know, started rooted with homeownership opportunities in the Pilsen community. And so when, you know, we started noticing some of the vacant lots and really just this lack of this of investment that we've seen in the community, like back of the yard. So in 2012, we opened a community center on 46th and Wood. And so we have been invested in the community, trying to see opportunity and seek opportunities to be able to grow the homeownership rate. So in back of the yards, particularly, you know, it's 60% of the population are renters. And so we wanted to see how can we make a change. But we also noticed there was a lot of lots. And so then we started having the conversation, and then knowing that organizations like, so in North Lawndale, Lawndale Christian Development Corporation, you know, they also had a track record of building homes, over 100 homes in North Lawndale back in the 90s. And so again, seeing also the similarity in their community where there was a lot of vacant lots as well. And so when we looked into these vacant lots, you know, it turned out they were city owned. And then when we looked a little bit deeper, we realized that the city owned about 10,000 vacant lots. And some of them they've had in possession for possibly over 20 years. And so we said, how do we, you know, make a change with what's in the neighborhood without considering displacement? You know, it's really about repopulation. And that was really the objective when we started thinking about what are some opportunities. You know, it was about developing new home constructions and really being able to offer these opportunities to the folks in the community, because that's also the other objective about this project that we're doing. We're making sure that the folks that live, that work, and that worship in the community are aware that these are opportunities that they could pursue.
And now I understand that you are a finalist for the Pritzker Traubert Foundation's annual awards. And Mary Kenny, do you want to talk a little bit about that? You being a finance person must have a good appreciation for what this could mean and also how this process has played out.
Yeah, being a finalist for the Pritzker Traubert Foundation Chicago Prize is really, I think, a good acknowledgement for the group in terms of the hard work that's taken place. It's a very competitive process. It actually happens every 2 years, Craig. They award a $10 million grant to a worthy organization that's doing good community development work. So this work is really, I mean, I think it's very unique. As Lizette said, it's wonderful to provide affordable homeownership opportunities to families in the community. And I think we should also mention there's a pipeline of existing home buyers of over 400 home buyers in different stages of readiness in terms of their ability to purchase. But all of the homes have been purchased without even being marketed. Right. So there is a huge demand for this type of housing. But I think from a policy perspective, you know, as Fred kind of alluded to, this isn't just about housing. You know, we listen to public officials talk about the loss of population in Chicago. And, you know, the answer is sitting right in front of us. We have all of these vacant lots. As Lizette said, the city has some 10,000 lots scattered across these neighborhoods. There's probably 40,000 vacant lots total in the city if you include privately owned lots. So we actually, you know, this could be a resource rather than a problem. We could be building affordable housing on all of those lots and reversing this population loss while at the same time putting properties back on the tax rolls, eliminating the maintenance costs to the city, and revitalizing communities. You know, a similar initiative in Baltimore that focused on two neighborhoods, they saw the property tax receipts for those two neighborhoods more than doubled over a 12-year period. And the assessed values for the homes went up by 150% and 230% respectively. So that is for the first time, homeowners in these communities are going to start to see appreciation in their homes as a result of this work, because we're providing home sales and comparables that benefit. So it benefits not just the family.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Families that are purchasing the homes, but all of the existing homeowners as well. You know, similar work in Chicago Lawn, they saw a 70% decline in crime, a 50% decline in violent crime. The school went from a level 3 to a level 1. So for me, this is a bit of unfinished business, having worked through the foreclosure crisis and seen a lot of the areas of the city that were already struggling, became subject to, you know, targeted by predatory lenders, made the situation worse. But I think there's a real opportunity to take some of the negative things that have happened and turn it into a positive. And so it was why I was so happy to come on board with all these great people who are so motivated about their communities and just improving the city's health overall.
And Fred Weatherspoon, let me ask you a question that in some ways is one of the tougher ones, but we get that from people. And that is, this part of the project involves 28 lots. Are 28 lots enough to help transform a neighborhood?
No, but it's a good start. And actually, so what we have is the possible possession of over 200 lots in our community in total to be developed. And this is just the beginning. So as this process go along and as we build houses, I mean, we have reached out to all the people and city people, and they will be willing to release more lots to us to actually develop more housing as we move forward. And for us, it's a unique issue. We have like whole blocks or close to whole blocks are basically vacant lots. And our vision is to create home communities from these individual, I mean, these separate blocks, to build as many homes as we allowably can on single blocks, to sort of build up blocks. And with building up these blocks, we're actually building up the whole community. So we see this as a start. And it's a start that's rare for us, like to actually repopulate the people who are originally from this community, and to subsidize them to get affordable homes is unheard of for us, and it's much needed. So we looked at this as just the beginning, and we're excited about beginning.
You're listening to WBBM News Radio's At Issue. I'm Craig Delamore, and we're talking about affordable housing in the work of the Resurrection Project and the groups affiliated with it. My guests are Lizette Carretero, Director of Financial Wellness with the Resurrection Project. Fred Weatherspoon is Program Director of the Precious Blood Ministry of Reconciliation. And Mary Kenny is with United Power and Executive Director of the Reclaiming Chicago entity. And so let's look at a couple of the things that I think people might wonder. Define affordable, because we're talking about single family homes, and you know, one person's affordable is another person's too, you know, way out of reach. So what constitutes affordable, and not just in the AMI, or, you know, those, not so much in the jargon, but in reality, what are we talking about?
Yeah, I can definitely jump in to start that conversation. So I think, you know, when we set out to do this project back in 2020, you know, we first had our ambition to be able to work with a developer that would be able to do this at scale. And that is the continued vision of working with developers to be able to do this. The more we build, the more we can bring the cost down. And that cost has been pretty high. I will say that, you know, in this last phase, based on specifically in Back of the Yards, we've created 18 homeowners in our first phase. And so the average loan amount there was $240,000, and the payment was $1,700. And so understanding that price and rents have been going up, you know, we're trying to compete with both markets per se, to try to meet families halfway. And really be able to provide and supply this, you know, provide the supply and demand for to be able to create these opportunities. The component here is really, you know, what we're trying to do is to subsidize as much as possible. We know that down payment assistance is a key component in today's market with the families that we're working towards. And so right now, most families that we've been working with, you know, are earning, you know, above $60,000 a year. And so that's really cool. You know, we're trying to continue to work with, you know, working families, you know, in Back of the Yards is, you know, it's historically the Stockyards, and it's always been a working class neighborhood. And we're trying to maintain that structure in all the neighborhoods that we're seeing. But we've also been seeing different markets occur in all communities. As much as we try to, you know, this isn't a streamline where each neighborhood is going to get this, and then each neighborhood's going to get that. We are adjusting based on what the needs and what the markets are in these communities.
You know, I was going to ask this a little later in the program, but you've really set it up here, and that is that this season, the city of Chicago or the city council passed green social housing, and it actually wasn't a close vote, but it was what I would call a close debate, that there were a lot of concerns. And one of them that was raised was something like this, where it's the city creates an entity, a not-for-profit, that then loans money and creates a revolving loan fund to facilitate the housing, that it won't work everywhere, that neighborhoods that aren't affluent to some degree are the targets, but other neighborhoods won't benefit. I'd be interested to know what you think of the green social housing. And one of the counter arguments I should point out for our listeners is that, yeah, well, it's not going to be good for everywhere, but there are a whole bunch of things that can be done in, as you said, Lizette, in different neighborhoods. So any one of you can talk about that. Mary Kenny, do you want to
Sure. Let me tackle that. Let me start by saying I am 100% behind any resources being committed to housing, because I think housing, we're actually at a crisis point, not just in Chicago, but as a country, in terms of working families being able to afford safe, decent housing. And so I'm always a proponent of that. I think, let me say this without critiquing the specific program by the city, but let me provide a contrast in terms of why I think this work is so important and is really what's needed. First of all, it almost all of our resources in housing, Craig, and you know this because you've looked at this area for a long time as well through your programs and other things, but almost all of our resources as a country are dedicated to rental housing. And my understanding of the Green Social Housing Program is that it too is going to be focused on rental housing that will provide resources to developers. You know, so while I think it's a good thing, I think what we really need is a focus on just this kind of housing, single family housing. I mean, one of the things about this work is that, you know, it's a cycle, right? You have people that are leaving naturally occurring affordable housing or maybe even regulated affordable housing and becoming homeowners. So they're opening up units. The single family piece seems to be what's missing in our ecosystem, and it's actually what the neighborhoods need. You know, you can't build a 400 unit multifamily development in North Lawndale or in Back of the Yards or in some of these communities. What they really need is single family infill housing. And so, you know, I don't think that this program by the city is addressing that. And the other thing I'll say is it's still being driven by developers, by for-profit developers that go out and perform market studies and see where they can acquire land and they build. And I'm not criticizing that, but this is driven by the community, and the community is actually controlling the type of development and the resources that are going into their communities. And I think if you wait for a for-profit developer to come in and do the things that like the communities need and provide the resources, we're going to wait a long time. And I certainly don't think that the government, at least, you know, where we sit today, from a federal perspective, is going to be coming in to provide solutions as well. So, you know, being involved in this where it's really being driven by the community, and we're starting to see philanthropy for the first time, really see housing as a pillar that needs to be supported in the communities, because, you know, we know from a lot of studies that it has impacts on crime, it has impacts on education in terms of how children learn, it has impacts on health. So it really is a foundational piece to me that has been missing in the conversation. And so while I don't want to criticize what the city's doing, I'm grateful for any resources that go in to housing. I think, you know, I think rental housing is not where we should all be focused.
And Lizette, I would think that what you can't build wealth, or at least generational wealth, without home ownership. Am I right?
Yeah, no, that's definitely right. And I think one of the aspects with our project here is that we didn't want to limit that wealth either. You know, I think there's programs where, you know, with community land trust or, you know, very subsidized per se structures where they have, you know, 30-year liens where they're not able to resell the home. You know, we try to be also conscious and not, you know, right away have families and then have them sell them. There are restrictions in the homes that we are selling by 10 years. We want to make sure affordability and that families are rooting and they're establishing themselves in the community. But the main objective of wanting to be able to offer single family homes was so that they can create wealth, and so that they can build wealth through homeownership, because that is the record we've seen, the track record we've seen through the families we've helped in the last 35 years, that they've been able to grow their wealth, and specifically with Latino and Black families, where we have been behind on the homeownership rate. And so this is, you know, something I'm proud to say that 50%, so 50% of the homes have gone to Latino families and 50% have gone to Black families in the homes that we've sold. So that is really the emphasis on who it's for and who is also committed to do this work is all of us that are organizing and trying to do this more efficiently and working with the city and working with different institutions to actually, you know, bring them to the investment.
Red Weatherspoon, you wanted to say something.
And just building off what Liz said about the coalition of Black and Brown, specifically in our community, we have been working hand in glove on these issues together. And with that being the case, we've sort of built relationships where we are, you know, we are working together on multiple issues. And with that, that makes our community better, right?
And this one, anyone can answer it, but I always have to ask it. How do you make sure that eventually people don't get priced out when the areas revive, when things start getting better, how do you keep it from eventually getting so successful that you have the gentrification that people worry about?
Yeah, well, let me start. I'll take that. And then, you know, let me start by saying, I think if we begin to see that problem, we'll have known where we've been successful, because we will have families that are building wealth because for the first time, their homes are actually appreciating. And so, you know, while we appreciate the issue around gentrification, like, we feel like the work is a necessary piece. And I think one of the things that makes this particular initiative really special is that it is so based in the community, so that you have folks like Fred and Liz who are right there in the community still connecting. In North Lawndale, they have a homeowners association, right? Still connecting with those homeowners. So, you know, we've already had conversations with the assessor's office, and he has agreed to kind of track along with this project, because the idea is obviously not to price people out of these communities. And it's in this way, I mean, because it is not a rental project, it's really just about property taxes, right? So it, as long as we continue to track with folks and continue to have the public policy conversations, I think that we're having here this afternoon, I feel like when that time comes, we're based enough in the community that we'll be able to find the right solution for that time.
And I actually see this as an opportunity to bring people back into the community, right? You know, because as is, there was no development, right? And people naturally would have been priced out when the developers come, because they are coming, right? And then we are like an essential spot in the city, right? And I can see it around us. So I see this as a way of protecting people in the community who are from the community, who wants to stay in the community, and possibly who wants to come back. So that's how I see this, and that's how we see this as opportunity for our people. Not as, you know, we're inviting others to come in and take over, more to collaborate us and to become a part of our community, not take over our community, so to speak.
And believe it or not, this is going to be the final word, because this half hour has gone a lot faster than, and that's because you all have been great. I want to thank Lizette Carretero of the Resurrection Project, Fred Weatherspoon with Precious Blood Ministry of Reconciliation, and Mary Kenny, head of Reclaiming Chicago and United Power, for spending this half hour with us. To our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or just to hear it again, please visit our website. That's WBBMNewsRadio.com. There's a link on the homepage. You can also find our podcasts on Odyssey.com. We'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Grade, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.